May it please Almighty God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in His holy word. Let's turn to the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 33, and we'll read verse 17. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 33, and reading verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord, and he lived in several kings' reigns, but one was the King Hezekiah. And we read together in the second book of the Kings, that 19th chapter, because it speaks about Hezekiah when he reigned, and also the previous chapter and the following chapter. And it's a very interesting account, really, to see how the Lord was very gracious and wonderfully delivered Hezekiah, and the reaction that he had when he was faced with the enemy and all the things which they pretended they would do and to destroy them. But in the end, of course, the Assyrians under Sennacherib were totally destroyed one night by God, 180,000 of them. Surely such a statement like that, which we're able to read in the Word of God, should encourage us today to know that we have an all-powerful God, the God who puny man today just ignores, has no understanding of the greatness of that God. And yet we're thankful that Hezekiah did. Well, we have really that time, which is referred to here in this 33rd chapter in Isaiah. But it's not very easy really to understand. But it does direct us to that occasion when the Lord wonderfully delivered his people. And Hezekiah was the king at that time. We won't go through the whole chapter. It is worth pondering. It is worth going through and reading it alongside those chapters in the Second of Kings, because it does show a lot of light upon them, which otherwise it might be very difficult to do. But of course, we must always realize, essential to realize, that the Word of God, in any event, is not only an historical book, which it is, but it is also, and more importantly, a spiritual book. And it sets before the Church of God the spiritual life of His people. And it shows in the Word of God, especially like we have it in Isaiah, the difficulties and the trials and the oppositions that we face in a spiritual way. Although it's perhaps couched in natural terms, yet it does describe the spiritual life of the true child of God. Well, just to read us a few verses, perhaps from verse 13, and this is what we read. Hear, ye that are far off, what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Well, it's good if the Church of God today recognize that, and if many people realize the truth of it, because sometimes we are far off spiritually. There were those who in Hezekiah's day were far off naturally, but many today are indeed far off. Hear ye that are far off what I've done. And it is good indeed if you and I have ears to hear what God has done, to encourage us to realize that that same God lives today and is alive today and always will be, that light, that Lord that wonderfully delivered Hezekiah so many years ago. And then he goes on, the sinners in Zion are afraid fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? The fear here was, of course, that the Assyrians were going to come and utterly destroy Jerusalem with fire, and therefore there would be no hope for the inhabitants of it. And also, not only speaking about those who were sinners indeed, but also those who were hypocrites. And of course, we still find that in the day and age in which we live. There are those sinners and there are those hypocrites. And so the prophet goes on to ask the question, who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Well, of course, there was a natural picture, but also it sets before us the spiritual picture. Because, of course, to all those hypocrites who remain hypocrites, they will be cast into that place where there is everlasting burnings. It is a frightful thought, a frightful consideration, and how tragic it is that men and women, boys and girls, do not take these things to heart. They somehow think it doesn't apply, or somehow think it'll pass them by. Well, it won't. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoopeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. It's a good thing, you know, if we read a statement like that, if God has given us grace to ponder such a statement, and grace the desire to walk with the same desires and the same actions that these people were blessed with. Walking righteously, speaking uprightly, despising gain by oppression, that does not shake hands from holding of bribes, and that stop our ears from hearing of blood, hearing of wicked and wrong things, and shutting our eyes from seeing evil. And that's very easy to read such statements as this, but we all need grace to walk it out, every one of us. We should never think, well, I'm strong and I'm able to keep myself and I'm able not to think anything wrong or say anything wrong. The Apostle Paul knew it when he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And we should always recognize that. The Lord enables us to do those things which are right, to realize it is because of his grace. Because what does that do? It brings honor and glory to his great and holy name. And then he says, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Really, in a nutshell, that means the Lord will take care of his people. What a blessing that is for us today. As we journey on through this world with all the oppositions, all the trials and all the difficulties, to realize still today the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And then, of course, there was to be that wonderful deliverance from the Assyrians, and the King Hezekiah would again be sat upon his throne, and those who were long way away would indeed be brought back once again. And we see that then in a natural world, in a natural way, which was fulfilled. But really tonight, I want to direct us to the spiritual scene, the spiritual word, because surely that is what we all want. That is all what that we all need. And so says Isaiah, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Well, I hope we can appreciate that this really speaks spiritually of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And also that land which is very far off is the place of glory, the place of heaven. And so surely the living church of God, in the day and age in which this was written and this was spoken, no doubt they were able to look beyond the obvious natural situation to the glory of the spiritual one. And what a blessing today if such a word is a true statement with regards to each one of us. Thine eyes, our eyes, shall see the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory, in all his beauty. Do you know that means? As we travel through life, as the Lord may draw near to us, the Saviour will be very attractive because of his saving power, because of his sin atoning death, because of his great and glorious intercession seated at the Father's right hand. And it is therefore by faith which God gives to his church to see the King in his beauty. But of course, it goes much further than that, because by the grace of God, all his people one day will see the King of Kings on his throne in heaven above, that wonderful city, that place that the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gone to prepare for his people, that place that he will once again come and receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we shall be also. Well, it's a lovely thought, isn't it? I hope it's a lovely thought to each one of us as we ponder this scene. Thine eyes shall see. See, those who understand in a spiritual sense their own foolishness, their own sinfulness, their own waywardness, and yet to realize there is a compassionate, merciful, gracious, loving God who does not deal with us as our sins deserve, but has gone to prepare that place for us so that one day we shall be found with Christ, which, as the apostle says, is far better. And as we're on this earth, here we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, and our eyes shall indeed see him. You know, the God servant Job had a view of this, and the book of Job is a very wonderful book, really. And in the 19th chapter, we read in the 27th verse, or perhaps we could start a bit before that. Verse 23 in verse chapter 19. Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Well, those were the words spoken by God's servant Job. And I'm sure most of us know that Job, of course, lived through a very dark period in his life. When it appeared that God's hand had gone out against him, the reality was it hadn't. The reality was that God was dealing with him in love to his soul. And although there are many things that Job perhaps said he complained of, yet you see there are those times in the account in Job when he speaks glorious words of truth, glorious words through God-given faith. And so he's able to come and testify in this way. And we should remember that it was many, many years before Job, in actual fact, was taken from this earth. As in the last chapter of this book, we read how many, many years he lived afterwards. And it was many years he lived after the Lord appeared for him. And yet, you see, he was able to say with a humble, true and good confidence, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Job was given God-given faith. And oh, my friends, what a blessing it is if you and I are given God-given faith, so that even tonight, God gives us that faith to be able to say, because of what he's done for us, because of the work of grace which we have received, which is not of the flesh, which is because of his love and mercy, we can humbly say, along with God's servant Job, yes, by his grace, I know that my Redeemer liveth. There's only one Redeemer to redeem us from all our sins, to deliver us from the wrath to come, and that is none other than the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friends, we should not think, well, I'm rather young, and I've got a long time yet before I shall die, and I needn't worry too much about having a confidence and a belief that my Redeemer liveth, and he is my Redeemer. Well, first of all, we don't know how long we're going to live. Secondly, we don't know when the Lord will come and return. So the Word of God reminds us in very simple words, "Be ye also ready, for ye know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth." And that should be our concern every day. And it should be our concern, therefore, to read a verse like this: "Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty, and they shall behold the land that is very far off." And to be so thankful if God has given us a humble hope in his mercy, a hope that we have been benefited by his glorious love to us, and that he, the wonderful Saviour, came into the sinful world to redeem my soul. Real religion is personal. Don't pass it off. Don't think, well, it's okay for other people. No, it needs to be for us individually. And so may we be able to have this humble confidence like Job, and then say, "Whom I shall see for myself." There wasn't any doubt. You know, the devil casts doubt. We don't claim any merit for doubts. It's the devil that wants to cause us a doubt. And of course, he brings before us many reasons why we should doubt. He tells us how bad we are, which we are. He tells us how sinful we are, which of course we are. And he tells us, therefore, there's no hope for us, which of course is wrong. Because there is hope. And what a blessing, therefore, if Almighty God has caused us to seek his face. It's caused us to cry to him, just like Hezekiah did in his day of trouble. He says in that 33rd chapter, in the second verse, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We are waited for thee. Be thou bare arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. See, we see here Hezekiah's confidence in his God. And it's wonderful if the Lord gives us that humble confidence in our God, remembering it's not what you and I have done to merit our salvation. It's what the glorious Redeemer has done to give us our salvation, the gift of God of eternal life. What a blessing, what a favor, what a mercy. Well, may we be amongst those then tonight who truly rejoice in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because it's a finished work, it means there's nothing lacking. Everything was faithfully completed upon that cross at Calvary. And do rejoice in the words of the Savior. The last words he spoke, it is finished. Yes, the whole work that his Father and our Father had given him to do, he had completed. He hadn't failed in one iota, not one little thing. He'd kept God's gracious and holy law on our behalf. You and I failed. We do fail. We will fail. But you see, we don't depend upon what we've done. We depend upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, when indeed he died upon that cross at Calvary, and the price that he paid was the highest price that could ever be required, and that is his life. No one can pay a higher price than giving their life, because once their life has been given, once their life has been taken, they can do nothing else. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his life to pay that ransom price which was required of us to free us from the condemnation of our sin. Oh yes, we were condemned. We are condemned. But bless God for the freedom which has been brought to the whole church of God through the Savior. And so to think, and it's good to meditate upon such a word as this, to think that thine eyes, the eyes of every true believer, without doubt, without any failures, shall see. It will occur. It will come. Shall see the King of Kings, in his beauty, in the glorious state of heaven. As I've said, we see here through a glass darkly. We rejoice to look forward to that day. And we look forward to seeing him who died for us. But by faith, we view him on this earth. By faith, we stand at the cross. By faith, we hear those words spoken on our behalf. It is finished. By faith, we receive the glorious atonement where the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood to take away our sin. Thine eyes shall see the King in his glory, in his beauty, and they shall behold the land that is very far off. Well, of course, we don't know where heaven is actually. We know it is there. And as we spoke on Lord's Day, of course, there was Moses and Elijah who came back from heaven and were shown on that Mount of Transfiguration to Peter, James and John on that wonderful occasion, that very positive evidence that there is a resurrection and that all his church will one day be found together in heaven. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? I often think those words that we can read of in the Revelation give us some little view of the glory of heaven at last and what it will be like. Because we read in the 7th chapter, there's other places like it in the Revelation, but I often think this gives a very concise statement. And we read this in the 13th verse of the 7th chapter. Excuse me. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Every true believer comes out of great tribulation through this world. And have washed their robes. Every true believer has washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. A wonderful consideration. It's a wonderful truth. And may you and I receive faith to believe it. Therefore, because of that, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night. It's figurative, of course, because there's no night in heaven. But it's explained like that so that we can have some appreciation. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, the blessed Saviour, this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Well, tonight, may our eyes be ever looking upwards, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and rejoice in this great truth which we have in this 33rd chapter of Isaiah and verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Amen.